Hey, everybody, it's John, and thanks to everybody who helps us out every week by going to patreon.com/stealthisbeer and throwing a couple of bucks our way so that we can mail beers to our guests and have some fun conversations resulting from that. So if you're not already, go check it out. It's patreon.com/stealthisbeer. As Cass says, a little bit goes a long way, and we appreciate the support. Now, here come the sirens.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey, all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday, and we are stealing beer. I am Augie Carton.
Hey, I'm John Hall. Kennedy is on mute in the background. Cass is here.
Not on mute. What the hell is up, y'all?
We're kicking off a brand new year.
Whole new lifestyle for John Hall now that he's deep in the THC culture.
All I need is a little time with Jeff O'Neill and
world. Everything about your life's force changed.
Yeah, it's...
John, I'm going to teach you your first new phrase of your new lifestyle. It's, I need a miracle. That's how you get out of paying for tickets.
Is that okay?
All right. So that's step one.
By the way, I feel like we both feel or sound at least vibrant and refreshed, which is weird for a little beer show, which this kind of is.
Oh, that's right. So do I have to shift back into Little Beers mode?
Yeah, you do.
Hold on. I can do that. I'm just going to go do a couple shots of brandy and that'll catch me right up.
Yeah.
So that is true. Matt Sampson of Sway Beer, welcome to the show, our good man. Thank you for joining us. Hello. How are you, sir?
Really good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And thanks for being here this way. We originally were going to meet with you down at Little Beers. We had a day shift, which crunched the time, which kicked your can down the road, as you will. But you were one of our intended, had we gotten past four down there, you were definitely going to come sit with us and drink some beers. So why don't we frame it per that, and then we'll explore from there. But now that we're 4 weeks from Little Beers, has it been 4 weeks?
About a month, yeah.
What are your fond memories looking back on it, since everything we recorded was like in the slow-moving boulder down a shallow hill that is Little Beer drinking?
Yeah. I feel like I got a different... It was a fantastic fest and fantastic experience. I was a little in and out, and that's part of the reason we couldn't do this then. I was visiting some family in Alabama, so I like drove in the morning of, did the fest, and headed back after dinner. So I didn't get to experience a lot of the fun that surrounded the fest, but drank some incredible beer at the fest, and really enjoyed the whole atmosphere there. The town is like this fairy tale little town of Duluth. But I couldn't get over driving through that. It's like, where am I?
it really is charming, right? You're like, you don't expect that, right?
I had
big
no idea.
City or rural, and that quaint little almost, I don't know. What's the time period, John? Like 1850s town square feeling?
Right. It feels like Hill Valley in 1950s Back to the Future.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, perfect.
We turned on, I forget what street we turned on, and it's just like all these families walking with dogs and strollers, and I was just like, where did we just turn? Like, what happened?
Yeah, no, it's got a very Mayberry type vibe to it. As I've been describing it, it's charming as fuck.
Exactly.
So,
hang on, because this is actually very important to say at the top of the show. Little Beers 5 is now going to be held on Saturday, March 29th, 2025. there's another original date that Todd DiMatteo had been sharing out there and talking about, and people had been putting it in their calendars. And I looked at my calendar and I was like, wow, that's the day before Easter. That's pretty bold there, Todd. I'll still come. I'm going to have to leave right after. And he's like, oh, shit, man, Easter? Okay. So they had to move it. So it's now Saturday, March 29th, 2025.
That's good, because on that day, I'll probably be riding bikes in Belgium.
Oh.
Anyway, so let's, for context, you say you were visiting family in Alabama, which may make people believe you're a Southerner, which you may or may not be, but your brewery is in Wisconsin, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're
okay, good. I was like, when I visited that table, I got the feeling I was in Wisconsin.
Yes. My sister moved to Birmingham. We grew up in the Midwest.
Okay.
That's
fun. So you went, how long was that drive? Like my spatial awareness, being from this part of Jersey, feels like everything is exactly an hour away, and that can't be right. How long did it take you to do the drive from Duluth to wherever in Alabama?
If there wasn't traffic, it would have, I think it was like a couple hours, maybe 2 hours.
But
there's always traffic, I guess, in Atlanta. So yeah, took probably 30 or an hour more than that each direction.
Yeah. But you still got a good family visit, and so it all worked out.
Yeah. No, it was great.
That's awesome. So all of your experiences of Fest, did you get to eat the fried chicken?
I did not.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. So you got to go back next year.
Exactly. Next year, we'll make a whole trip out of it. And
you mean on March 29th, 2025?
Exactly. Okay, I guess that's when it is.
Are you getting paid by Todd without me knowing?
No. No,
you're being voracious in the
chat. I'm glad
we made the note. And I know that a couple people from our show go to this fest. So we are, I guess, a promotional arm for this fest. But that 100%. being said, if the 6 or 7 thieves show up in Duluth on the wrong day, we'll make it worth their while. I'll get down there and buy them some pints of tasty French Pilsner and some fried chicken or something.
It's something that I have very much come to look forward to for all of the reasons that we've stated over and over and over again. But I imagine at some point we're going to start talking about Matt's beers and then beers in general. But it's fun. So I want people to be there. So that's why I'm saying March 29th, 2025 for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely at the top of the cream of the crop for how events were run, for sure. I was shocked. Yeah.
So actually, yeah, let's get back under the tents, because I think I've described on a couple of shows before, but we're grouped alphabetically. So I'm under this tent with Cohesion and Bierstadt, all these people I love. And it's usually like 3 hours into a 4 hour tasting, or 4 hours into a 5 hour tasting, like, holy shit, there's 80 other people I want to get to here. And Sway is the other end alphabetically. So I finally got over to you guys with, like, you know, half an hour left in the day. What did you bring, and what in your area stuck out most to you, since I was definitely rushing and not contemplating when I was around your world? Like, what beers did you bring, so we can talk about your beers? But then around you, who are you, like, oh my god, I can't believe in 4 feet, yeah, I can drink an unending amount of X?
Yeah, we definitely focus on like farmhouse inspired beers, but we brought two lagers that are both Hochfuder age lagers, a dark, no strict style on like style guidelines, but a dark lager and a kind of Vienna inspired amber lager.
Nice.
Both fooder aged. But yeah, we were sandwiched between Seeds from Michigan and The Seed. right in between.
By the way,
those two.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, so you spent, you got
shout out. Shout out to The Seed.
You were between Sean and Amanda the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah, no. So they're all their beers are really good. Both brought both English beers and lagers, which was fun to drink all those styles. Thus, Steeds had like a gravity cask and firkin of an English beer. So they were pouring all different ways, and that was all fun to experience.
No doubt. And so wait, you brought, am I wrong that Sean and Amanda brought a dark lager as well? I think we all brought dark lager.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They had a bunch of, like, they had some leftover beer from an event too. So they had like 7 beers, I think, at one point, which I got to experience all of them, and they were great.
That's awesome. Yeah. They're, you know, if you listen to the show and you're not obliged to, but if you do, you know, they come up often, because I'm super, super big fan of their liquid, their ethos, and just their general fucking attitude. They're good people. Yeah. That's good company. So outside that, and like I said, it's just such a weird thing, right? If you're me, there's a version of that day where you do nothing but drink Blackberry Farm Saison and you don't need to move. But you know what I mean? There's a version of the day where I just talk shit and drink lager with Ashley. There's like, it's such a deep wellness of things I know I like to do that sometimes I miss new shit. So I'm really leaning into you here for what I should do differently and better next time. What was your highlight of the day, like crowd wise? Like, what did you see from up on your rise? Because you know I'm much lower than you alphabetically. So I was down
there. Yeah. I think the highlights were just, meeting everyone that was kind of in our row. Schilling wasn't, you know, was really close by.
Oh, you got to be careful of Zach, though, dude. Zach will sweep you up like the Tasmanian devil in Bugs Bunny, and you'll end up 5 states away.
But, I mean, just like the wealth of good beer was awesome. Everyone was super kind and really fun to hang out with during the fest.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So, John, have you opened and are you smelling can one? And
yeah. And Matt, you have the beers as well. So
I do. Yeah.
Yours into the glass yet? You should be doing that and
right now.
Okay.
Nice. Bon appetit.
You want to say the thing? Say the thing.
Oh, good point. It's been so long. What brings us together on Steal the Spear is a candid conversation of beer. What it is, not what we did to get it. How it tastes, not what we think we can trade it for. And how fun it would be to drink in a situation, not how fun it would be to talk about having it online. To facilitate that, we drink blindly out of artisanally foil-wrapped cans shipped around the universe with the Patreon's money. By Justin Kennedy. John and I drink out of opaque wine glasses so that we can't see things like color, and we just talk about what's going on. I should confirm, and it doesn't really matter, just don't talk about color if you can see it, but are you drinking out of a coffee cup or something like that?
Yeah, I do. I do have a ceramic coffee cup, so that's
nice. So it's obscured unless you stare right in the bottle. All right, so start drinking, start thinking, we'll start talking. John, I'm somewhere between Basque pear, basil, and ginger on the aromatics of what tastes otherwise like a, I don't know, slightly spicy pale ale.
Yeah,
what's wrong, John?
I'm confused by this one, and it took me a minute. The ginger thing is really interesting because there is something spicy going on with it.
But it doesn't smell.
My train of thought was medicinal, and then something in the back of my brain went summertime. And then I went to, remember those candles you used to get that would like put the bugs away, and they were like
citronella. Citronella. I love that note.
Yeah.
I love that note. That's
a great one.
And I couldn't.
Yeah. Cause it's also somehow smells waxy.
Pale ale is sort of an interesting thing, right? Because it, in like more of like a modern sense, right? It's not Sierra pale where it's got that.
No. I'm sorry. I mean like a Belgian kind of pale. I mean, there's a Belgian phenolic pale in there that's feeling The problem is whatever these other smells are seem to be burying the yeast. So I'm not like, oh, it's a German wit, or oh, it's a Belgian wit, or oh, you know what I mean? It just smells pale ale spicy. And then I love your citronella notes. So when I was saying ginger ale, if you'd asked for clarification, I would have done a fictitious thing I'm not even sure I mean or understand. But it's more like Beaver Tree's version of a ginger ale than Schweppervescent's version of a ginger ale, which is why I don't think it's actually ginger. You know, it's just spicy like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, it's, I don't know, and some again, kind of
ginger ale, but more like a watered down ginger beer.
Exactly. With that, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's okay. Exactly. But not really ginger. And I was trying to figure out like an Asian five spice note that might be in there, because like I said, I went with basil, but it doesn't smell basil. It just smells like some broadleaf herb. And then there's
something.
I love your citronella note. I don't know that you can consume citronella, but if you can, I feel like it might have citronella in it.
Yeah, I feel like Justin should have put one of those white nets, form catching nets around the side of the can for something like this. But there's a years ago, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and if anybody else knows, just jump in. But there is a three-way collaboration between Dogfish Head, Victory, and Stone that had like rosemary, sage, and something else in it.
And Saison du Boeuf.
Yes. Thank you.
It was fucking fantastic.
This has those sort of earthy, spicy, herbal vestiges of that beer as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't made that beer. This is when they used to bottle things. Remember those?
Bottles?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fall for that.
Well, all three of them made it. I remember that was hype before hype.
Matt's been drinking for a while. So, Matt, jump in with your – what do you think?
Yeah, we actually make a beer, like a Saison that has forage goldenrod in it. It reminds me a lot of that flavor profile. So and I actually put citronella on the menu. So it's very cool that you said that.
But you put it on.
But yeah, it's similar.
As a note. Or because
as a tasty note, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, it has a similar.
And you're getting that
herbal,
from goldenrod.
Yeah, it has a similar. So well, something, I'm sure it's not that, but it's like some herbal, lemony. Yeah, and then there's like a spiciness from the.
But if you told me, I like what you're saying about the Saison. I like what you're saying about the Saison, because if remember when I was like, it might be Belgian. If it's a Belgian Saison pitch, like a black pepper Saison pitch rather than a French white pepper Saison pitch. Do you know what I mean when I say those notes? Is that just me? All right. So you know what I mean? How one is just more black pepper and the other one's more white. If it's that pitch plus goldenrod, I could absolutely see that equaling ginger in my face. So I'm perfectly happy with that. If you're right, one.
I'm sure
Jesus
I'm not.
Christ,
but
good
but,
job,
man.
But I love those notes.
I just said that because I'm sure it's some herb.
What if it was Saison plus lemon basil?
Yeah.
Then we're all the same.
That. Sure.
Then we're all the same. Okay.
I want to drink this in the garden. I want to sit among plants.
Yeah. So Matt, the next phase is we write a sentence. Back when we started this show, people were cherishing beer a little too much and trading it and buying it without ever tasting it. So the idea was, if you had this in your house, where would be a good place to drink it, or should you hold it and age it? So John is writing his sentence. Go on, John.
Yeah. I'm gonna be barefoot, sitting in the garden, crisscross applesauce.
Those THC beverages really got to you. Now all of a sudden you're namaste
in a wild garden, sipping this and communing with Mother Earth.
Oh, I like it. All right, I'm going to sip it watching a video of that day.
No cameras allowed.
Matt, what about you? Where do you want to put this? And especially since, even though I'm not saying you nailed it and you're exactly right, but it's obviously something close to what you've made. So when you were putting it on a menu, what did you think it would, like, where would you want it to have been? Like, what did you pair with it kind of things? What flavors did you envision this with?
I think it would be great just like sitting on the back porch with an appetizer, looking out on your backyard or nature in some way.
All right. Yeah. So you're just watching me sitting in your garden drinking this.
Exactly. Yeah, you're doing the work. I'm
basically you and I are eating popcorn waiting to see if John's face melts.
I'm the scenery.
I love it. John, it's all about you these days. It's all about you these days.
God damn right.
Yep. Look at
all
you.
Right. What?
All right. Does anybody know what we're drinking? Kennedy shut down, right?
I guess Kennedy. Oh, he's on mute. You guys are drinking a collaboration beer from Montclair Brewery in New Jersey and Allagash Brewing Company.
Allagash
makes sense.
It says it's a red ale.
Red ale?
But it says Verb Say the untapped. This is not off untapped ale. It says Verb Saison Red Ale brewed with verbena.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Lemon verbena and saison makes sense. Yeah, red verbena does not make sense. All right,
this beer is
do
about
I have to go
action.
Get a clear glass?
Yeah, maybe.
Fuck off. This was brewed for. I'm looking at the can now. This was brewed for Barrow and Flow, the festival that they hold every August out in Pittsburgh. And lemon verbena, the beer's signature ingredient, provides notes of citrus, while saison yeast gives the beer a tropical aroma and its crisp finish. I think our descriptions are better than that, what's on the can, but it's just me.
The beer is bright yellow. Who says this? Hold on, I'm going to wrap it.
Untapped.
Don't listen to that, yeah.
What was the first thing I had to look up here as I'm preparing
other things? I understand, but
John,
what is the can? The can says Saison Ale brewed with verbena. All right. Yeah, it doesn't say red ale anywhere on here.
No.
If either Rob Todd or our friends at Montclair are listening, you need to go online.
I'll tell Leo.
And you know Leo? All right, so just tell him to amend his untap, because this beer is fun. This beer is fun and a proper saison. And now that I've poured it into a clear glass, it's got all the right little yeast precipitation floaties at the bottom. I'd be real happy to drink, and it's got fucking
this
rocky
a,
four
this,
fingers
this
of white
a,
head.
This is a year old too,
but it's really saison never goes bad.
No, I know. I'm just saying that this is a year old. This was for the 2023 Barrel and Flow Festival.
Matt, you make saisons in a land famous for at least one saison. Do you have drink by ideas on your saisons, or are you like me? Like, look. The journey began on July 1st, and I expect you to drink it for the rest of time when you see it. Tell me how it tastes 10 years old.
Right, yeah. We can naturally condition all of those beers in the can, so their shelf life is very good. Like, yeah, you can age them for a while.
Yeah.
We do not put anything on the can like that.
Hmm. What is, so I'm assuming this was made up at Allagash because.
Nope.
I just looked at it. It says it's only 4.5%. That's a little surprising to it.
That's nice.
Very light.
I'm telling you, now that I've poured it into a clear glass, the rocky fucking head is respectable. They made this in Montclair?
Yeah.
So we assume they pitched, or do we think Allagash sent East down? Because I'm
Rob went, or. Jason, no, maybe Jason went. Somebody from Allagash was there. His photos all over the internet. They actually came down and made that beer together. It wasn't a phone in collab.
You're not hearing what I'm asking. That's good. But here's what I'm asking: did they bring Allagash yeast, and what is Allagash's saison? Because usually when we taste Allagash beers, the
it's
yeast
got that
is how we know them.
Yeah,
but
we could have Leo on.
That's what I'm saying. That's interesting.
Ask him a million questions. He was also on an episode of Moonshiners, too. He loves making alcohol.
What the fuck is Moonshiners?
It's a show about liquor.
Isn't every show about liquor? Did you ever see Mad Men?
It's a show about making liquor in the woods.
Sounds where fucking
else are you
horrible.
Supposed to do it? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Wait, do they also have duck calls on that show?
I want to get back to hearing about Matt's.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, so Matt, let's talk about your saisons now that we know they live forever. Have you made a verbena one? What have you made besides goldenrod? Talk to me about those ideas.
Yeah, I've not used verbena.
You will.
Yeah, we
now.
Do like a whole. Yeah, right. We do a lot, a wide range of beers with kind of local wild ingredients. We've done goldenrod and yarrow, dandelion.
God, do I love yarrow and a saison. God, do I love
spruce tips.
And
yeah. Yeah, yeah, and we make like a spelt, like our kind of classic version is just spelt saison.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been at this?
So I opened Sway in July 22, so less than 2 years ago.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk like an old man,
but
when we first opened, I did every April I would do a saison, you know, for the season, and I would really fuck with them. I had a lot of fun with it. Nobody ever was excited about them, so I've let it become like one standard in-house saison. And where I landed was on spelt. So when I heard you talking about your additions, and then going to spelt, I was like, aha! I've been where you are. Keep fighting the good fight. So talk to me about when you're doing these. What are you pitching? Do you have a culture you keep alive that you love? How do you saison?
Yeah, I have a house mix culture that I've had for even before starting Sway at another job, that I just kept alive. It's a mix of commercial strains and some wild strains that I harvested from around the area up here. But yeah, I just kind of treat it like a sourdough starter. Like not with actual flour, but I use it in a beer and then I fill it up with wort and let it ferment out and store it cold until the next batch is just stored in a brink.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're making these regularly enough for that to remain viable and interesting? Like that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean that yeast is so hardy that, you know, if it was a monoculture of something that was a little bit more finicky, I would not do that process. But that yeast or whatever's in there is super hardy and
nice. Well, I imagine living ambiently in Wisconsin, you see some extremes that must make you tough as a little tiny baby floating in the air yeast. Have you noticed a progression in its character over the 2 years? Are things becoming dominant in this process, or are other things falling off?
Yeah, I have kind of topped it off with fresh sack a couple times, I'm really going for more of a Saccharomyces driven beer. I have topped it off just when it gets either more acidity or a little too funky at times.
Nice. We've been talking a while, so I have to get to beer too, but I want to keep talking about the other things you do besides saison, although I will say Justin's Cicerone skills for giving us a saison on an episode you're on was great for facilitating that conversation. But Justin's Cicerone skills for beer one into beer two might be the worst progression I've ever had in my life. I hate beer two. I hate beer two. And I don't think it's beer two's fault. I think it's Justin's fault, but I'm going to keep sipping on it. John, I'm going to ask you to start the notes. And Matt, if you're already there, I'd like your notes. But while you do that, I will say why I'm taking the back seat. There was this nice, spicy, bright, we can now identify it as lemma verbena-y herbalness to that last beer. And it was, you know, 4.5%, get your mouth moving, get you excited to talk, get you excited to eat, get you excited to drink. And this is basically like somebody just handed me an entirely special B fermentation wort version of somebody's triple or quad, let it sit on the shelf getting flat for 17 hours and said, here, drink this now. It's like
the flat part is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a syrup. It's like, yeah. So have you ever seen what's the but I don't know that it's really flat. That's my problem. I feel like the other one was so effervescent and fun and, you know, Cezanne-y. This one might be perfectly carbonated and just feel flat. But what's the Super Troopers when they have the syrup chugging contest?
Yeah, that's the
movie. The minute I sipped this, I was like, am I in a syrup chugging contest? John, are you tasting it yet?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think a lot of what you're saying, I agree with. Yeah, there's something weird about the mouthfeel on this that it's lacking that effervescent for sure. There's this weird baked like aroma that I can't.
It's figs.
Yes, there's stone fruit in there, but then there's also like this.
Figs is a seed fruit, by the way.
Cinnamon, vanilla. There's like a pastry type thing.
I'm like 80% sure it's a quad because Special B is what I'm getting.
It's got Belgian characteristics to it, but it has this weird fake pastry cinnamon sugar vanilla thing that I can't quite put my finger on.
Maybe it's somebody's Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Quad. Matt, before we slaughter a beer that you love and respect, do you want to defend?
No. Yeah, it's very syrupy. I get the quad Belgian thing, but without the carbonation, it's just very weird.
Right? When you think about
it's very fruity too. Yeah.
But talk in terms as a brewer for design recipe. If I had made this beer, the first thing I would look to is carbonic acidity to brighten it up. And that's what I think I'm missing here. Like maybe there's a hole in the can or something, but it's not oxidized. But two, you know what I mean? The great ones of these have something that counters it. Maybe it's a little tiny bit of malt, you know, acridness or carbonate. You know what I mean? Like this one feels like it's just the wort and alcohol.
Yeah.
How would you correct this? If I'd handed you to this, if I worked for you, if I was like, Matt, I'm working on my, you know, maple syrup cinnamon quad for blah, blah, blah. Unflabby it?
It needs to be carbonated, but yeah, it's also, just malt sweet, you know, sweetness on like this fruity sweetness too. It's just doubling down on
big cherry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm admittedly back to sipping the first beer.
Yeah. I've got this beautiful, when I checked the color of glass one, I poured it into like my most clear thin sided pint glass and it drew me right back in.
Yeah. I'm going to go grab a clear glass.
Hold on. Did you guys say where you're drinking it yet? Sorry, I'm double dipping here. I'm doing multiple things.
I'm either drinking this in somebody's mother's basement at a bottle share, or I'm drinking it, on like a Barley Wine is Life chug video contest on a Friday night.
Yeah. I am holding a freshly opened can that I've taken four sips of. In my hand while I scan the beer fridge for what I'm immediately going to have when I put this full can down.
So I wonder if at midnight, like after a whole bunch of drinking, like bad decision, Augie and John, you know what I mean? Like John, just imagine up on top of a mountain, big beers, whatever. We go back to the room. I get Kennedy stoned. And I open this and pour it into flimsy plastic, once were saran wrapped for your safety, cocktail glasses from the Marriott. Do we sip this with delight? Are we like, oh my God, going up.
Oh, we do?
You do. Well, I want you all to just take whatever you have left and kind of swish it around it and dump it hard into a can or into a glass. Because this is possibly the worst thing. This is the worst. Yeah, because we might as well do the reveal now. You guys are definitely awesome with the notes, but doing this beer out of the can. Thanks, you know, I want you guys to experience a beer. I'm kind of jealous, but you ready?
Yeah.
All right, I'm dumping it while you talk.
Nitro, Three Philosophers, quadruple ale, a blend of quadruple ale and creek ale with cherries from Omegang. This is a wild beer to have on Nitro, but I
Why
have
you
a feeling.
Nitro this?
What did they do to my beautiful baby boy?
Right. Nitro, yeah.
What did they do to you?
You guys were spot on with all the notes, but it's like you're just not getting the experience of it. You just thought you got a fucking flat beer.
Right. All right, Cass is right. I got another pint glass and literally physically dumped it, and a head did rise out of it. And sipping through the head, it's got the corrective action. Everybody go do that.
Okay.
To protect this beer from itself. You know what?
We shouldn't have nitro beers blind.
Yeah, no, not unless.
Should be a rule.
Yeah, that should be a rule.
Or you have to be blindfolded and dump this into a glass.
Splash it hard into a thing. So the cherries you were talking about, I didn't get. Cass has told me they're in there, so now I'm looking for them. But properly, vigorously decanted, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely, it's a much better beer with the nitrogen breaking out of it.
I was gonna say, you'd be excited to drink this in a hotel room after.
Yeah. I still think I'd buy the CO2.
Talking about it now.
What?
How is Matt feeling about it now?
Yeah, Matt, have you gotten a chance to
dump it out? Enjoy it more. I feel the same way though. I think I would prefer it carbonated.
I would definitely want a what were those vessels you were talking about before, John? Bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer it out of a bottle on CO2 than this. But Cass is not wrong. Dump the can into a glass and it tastes a lot.
Yeah,
much better.
No, I get it.
Thank God for you, Cass.
I am your nitro can expert. You know where to find me.
All right, Matt, we've wasted a whole bunch of time making jokes and talking about Duluth and Alabama. Let's talk about your actual brewery outside Saisons. What else you doing? What are you having fun? Where's your creative instinct these days? What are you most proud of? What are you trying to accomplish? Tell us real stories.
Right. Yeah, in addition to the, you know, farmhouse-inspired beers, everything we do is kind of classically inspired. So we do a lot of lagers, some English styles, and other, like continental-inspired beers.
Do you have a cask?
Not currently. We do have some of those. Some firkins and gravity casks that we tap beer, but we do not yet have
an engine.
Beer engine, yeah.
Understood.
Something that would be very fun to get. But
how big is your brew house? How big is your space? How much tomfoolery can you get up to?
Yeah, we're just 7-barrel brew house right now. Very small kind of dungeon space in the below our tap room. Very tight already, so we don't have a lot of room for growth. But we focus on all Midwest sourced ingredients. We use all Wisconsin hops and malt from Sugar Creek in Indiana.
Caleb.
Yeah, great stuff. And we also, everything we do is very session inspired too, or it is session beer. Like, everything's below 5.5% alcohol. Wow. So far.
Now, I know that your home state, it's everything went quiet. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I just, everything went dead silent. Spotted Cow is what I know of Wisconsin, obviously, and what I remember as somebody who had never gotten any, I went out there for something, and in my hotel, they had it on draft, which one was super impressive, although I know it's dominant out there. But when I first got it and tasted it, for some reason, it had never connected to me that it is a really, I don't know if they call it a Saison or not, but it is a very warm fermented, very phenolic pitch beer. And that shocked me as this, you know, only Wisconsin, but everywhere dominant thing. How much of that influences the culture you're serving? Can you get away with being a small beer, interesting fermentation place? And do you think that's because of the legacy? Like, how does that place in your brain for what you're allowed to do that I would never get away with here in New Jersey?
Yeah, I still think it doesn't do our brewery much help. Like, I think people think of it as like a farmhouse ale, but it's not. It's like, I think it's like a cream ale.
Like a dirty cream ale then.
But yeah, but it's not. I think they used to put farmhouse ale on the label, but they don't do that anymore. But people think they like Saison or farmhouse ale because of drinking that, and then they taste our Saisons and it's not what they're going for. They're more going for I don't know. I think of Spotted Cow more as a closer to a lager than a farmhouse ale personally. Yeah.
It's like a Jenny.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with what you guys are saying, and it might just be dirty lines in the hotel I went to, but I'm telling you, my Spotted Cow I had my first night in Wisconsin was more phenolic than that Saison we just drank.
Yeah, that's not typical.
Okay. All right. So then my experience is limited and we'll write it off to a bad experience. So to be fair, what you guys are telling me checks much more with what I expected it to be from its legend. All right. Sorry. That was a weird questioning path then. That's on me. All right. So how far do you reach? Do you serve most of your beer at Sway or do you spread it around?
Almost entirely out of our tap room. We distribute a little bit just around our county that's very like seasonally driven. We're along Lake Michigan and Green Bay, kind of the peninsula right above Green Bay. So yeah, it's very summer and fall focused. So we do a little bit of distro to restaurants and bars around the area, but mostly just out of our tap room.
And you go to cool festivals.
Yeah.
I guess.
Sorry,
guys.
I completely lost you. I heard Green Bay and then everything went silent. Then I heard cool festivals. I am back.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've officially run out of time. We have a letter, I assume, but Kennedy's muted, right? So
it wasn't given to me. Yeah. We got no letters.
All right. I know we got some letters. I was told we had some letters, but we'll let that slide. John, do you have any cleanup Wisconsin questions since I completely blew my Wisconsin experience question?
Speaking of cool festivals, though,
if you say March 29th again,
of what year?
2025. God damn.
Perfect.
It.
Thanks for doing
How
that.
How did I fall for that? All right. So we'll see you day.
No. I wanted
Easter.
To, Matt, have you participated in Great Taste of the Midwest?
Yeah. We got in, like, we opened the brewery in July of 22. We got in to that first year kind of as a, they let us in before the brewery was open, which was
awesome.
Shocking, but they reserve a certain number of entries for first year breweries, and then as a second year brewery and beyond, you're in the lottery with everyone else. And we did not get in last year, but luckily we will be there this year. Got into the lottery.
So that's a bucket list fest, right?
It's a great, awesome fest. Yeah. Really well run, beautiful, beautiful location in Madison. Yeah.
All right. So for all of the thieves listening, if you're going to Great Taste this year, you got to go find Matt and drink Sway beer at Great Taste of the Midwest.
All right. Not to put a period on your sentence, but isn't there a place with like a live lobster tank claw game in Wisconsin you told me about?
Yeah, that's somewhere in Milwaukee.
All right, so if you go to the fest, remember that we used to talk about that too, because that's still a thing I want to see in real life.
Yeah, that might have been at St. Paul, where they have whoever the original home of the Juicy Lucy burger is, that's where they had the live lobster claw machine game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
We'll put it on our road trips.
If people aren't going to be at Great Taste, but they want to find you online or in person, how do they do that?
Yeah, Instagram's probably the best way. It's at Sway Beer. Our website, swaybeer.com. Yeah.
I like it.
Cool.
The logo is fucking awesome too, dude.
All right. Cass, it's time for you to do your thing.
Yes, Patreons. Thank
Instead
you.
Instead of yell at us for not liking flat beer.
Well, I can tell you, I can only lead a horse to water, and I wouldn't have sent you. I wouldn't have sent you a nitro beer. Kennedy's got to get the paddle for that one.
Remember at the top, I said I think this is Kennedy's Chicharoni skills and not the.
So it will be written. We will never have a nitro beer on the show again, unless you guys are actually blindfolded to drink it. Then
fool me
then
once.
It's fun.
I'm not falling for you blindfolding me again, Cass.
Hey, Patreons, thank you for getting these beers out to Matt. We can't do it without you guys. So that's patreon.com/steal this beer. Kick us those ducats, dollars, and cents. We appreciate it. Follow us on social media. It's really only Instagram and Facebook. It's all that fucking matters, really. See what we're drinking on Untapped, whether it's a Saison or a Red Ale. And write us letters, stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us about your favorite nitro beers and whatnot.
How to vigorously decant them.
And Saisons. I feel like we had just kind of a little Belgian-inspired show today. So, you know, tell us your love letters and hate mails about all things of Saison and quads and trips. And
Matt, I look forward to bumping into you at a fest again, man. And we'll do this again over some of your beers. Thanks for coming on, bro. And I've saved me one of those Goldenrod Saisons. I know you're not going to make it again. Save me again.
We'll every year we're going to make it.
You say that now, and then one day you're like, oh, I got to make one with pawpaws, and then it goes to the back burner. All these things I always want to taste disappear on me before I taste them. Anyway, I hope you make it next year, but I'll understand if you don't. Anyway, great to have you, man. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, hey, y'all. Remember, 5 stars on iTunes and get at us.
Cheers.